Coming up today on Before You Buy, we have earbuds, we have headphones, we have a 360-degree camera, and the Amazon Fire TV.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode is brought to you by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with free step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools that you'll need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/twit and enter the code Before You Buy at checkout. Charming and wonderful friends on the internets. My name is Shannon Morris, and this is Before You Buy, TWiT's product review show, where we get all of our team, all of our hosts, and everybody else in the entire office to review all sorts of new gadgets and gizmos. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. We have plenty of reviews for you this week, starting with Mr. Leo Laporte, and he has the brand new Amazon Fire TV.
Oh. I didn't want to order this, Shannon, because...
Why not?
Well, I got about 100 different devices that I can use to watch Netflix and Amazon streaming and Hulu Plus. It's on my...
That's how I feel.
Right?
I have my Roku 3 and it does perfectly.
Right.
So why do I want the Amazon Fire TV?
In fact, if you look at it, it's about the size and almost the look of a Apple TV. A little bit bigger. Square corners. We don't do rounded corners here. They're trademarked or something. It comes with a remote control. It is exactly the same price as an Apple TV. $99. Has an HDMI cable on the back. Optical out. That's nice. I like that feature.
That is nice.
It also has an Ethernet jack, but it has built-in Wi-Fi. That's what we're going to use here today. And a USB port. I don't think they've said what I can do with that USB port yet.
Ooh.
It is running Android. Amazon didn't say specifically, but we know it's Android, and it's the Amazon Android store and all of that. You get the remote, but for an additional $40, you can also get a it looks like a pancaked Xbox controller. It has all the same...
Not a bad price for a controller.
No, and it has all the same buttons as an Xbox controller with a few extras. See, here's a play, rewind, fast forward. That's appropriate because you can use this instead of the remote control.
That's
so
cool.
It does everything the remote control does. Very much like a PlayStation 4, an Xbox controller, it binds to the device. And since there are four lights here, I'm going to assume that you can attach up to four controllers.
Ooh.
That is the big difference on the Fire TV. Amazon really promoted the fact that it'll play games. So it is a TV streamer with some
more
games.
More than just Angry Birds, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, Roku 3 will play Angry Birds, but
right.
Not very well.
Yeah.
traditionally, these set-top boxes don't have a lot of horsepower, and so playing games is difficult. This one is a quad-core Qualcomm Snapdragon 600. We found that out from iFixit that tore it down. It has a dedicated GPU. So actually gaming is pretty reasonable on here. You can play the same kind of games you play on your mobile phone. In fact, that's why Amazon can do this. It's essentially last year's smartphone.
Okay.
With that, last year's processor has 2 gigs of RAM. That's unusual in a smartphone. That does help the speed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? I like it a lot. The interface is great. The big thing Amazon touts is the voice search. Now, let me show you a little bit about how...
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, how that works. You saw Gary Busey saying, I talk to my TV, it never talks back. Now it does. What would you like me to... Give me a TV show or anything you want me to search for.
Ooh, TV show. Let's do Dexter.
Dexter. So it's like Siri. You press and hold the button. It listens. The search has been excellent. I haven't had any trouble. But I'm going to point out something. Dexter
it
happened...
It found Dexter.
It did. It happens to be on Netflix, right?
Right.
But it doesn't know it's on Netflix. So this is not universal search. What it's going to do is it's going to give me the Amazon streaming version of Dexter.
No. See, I would love it if we had a box like this that could search everything.
Wouldn't you like universal search?
That would be so cool.
I don't think I blame Amazon for this. A number of people have noted this and said, it favors the Amazon store. It doesn't mention Netflix. I don't see that as a problem. I think it's more likely that Netflix didn't give them the information. You'd have to give them your
the
whole
rights,
database,
some kind
right?
Of code, right.
And the ability to search it, and they have to keep it up to date. And remember, if it were going to search, it would have to search not just Netflix, but also Hulu Plus. I bought Minecraft. Now, notice, it's not the full Minecraft. It's the mobile Minecraft, the Pocket Edition. That's okay. Because this is an, think of this as an Android device. In fact, you can use your Kindle Fire tablet as a second screen for this. It really is almost a Kindle Fire in a box. That's Here's a game that is from the Amazon Game Studios. That's the other thing they kind of touted is that they were going to do their own game development. This is called Sev Zero. It's kind of a mix of a Halo. Oh, and I have to do this with the control. Or
do you have to do that every time you connect to a game?
No, in fact, I don't even have to use the remote. I can use the controller. But you see how quickly it connected. It's very instantaneous. So this is a little bit of Halo, a little bit of tower defense. I think what you're going to see is that all of these games are Android-style mobile casual games.
Not crazy graphics.
Well, let me go back to Asphalt 8 because that'll give you maybe a better idea of what the graphics can do. That's okay. The racing game that everybody shows off. Asphalt 8 is a pretty nice mobile game. By the way, notice I'm now still holding the controller but able to navigate this just as I would with the regular video device. Let's go into games here. Here's my game library. Oh, you like Pinball HD.
I do like pinball.
We should play that a little bit later on. There's Sonic. Here's Asphalt 8. So pros and cons on this. You know, it is a Me Too device, but it has some nice features. It's fast. In fact, it's faster than the Apple TV because they've put a fast quad-core processor in it, a graphics card dedicated, and 2 gigs of RAM. So it's fairly fast. It plays games, and that's kind of nice. Although if you have, as your media streamer, an Xbox One, for instance,
yes,
it'll play games too. It has the voice control. The voice search is quite good. It just searches, it searches Amazon. It'll search what's on the system as well.
Okay.
So it'll find more than just stuff on the Amazon library. And I like that. It's a good remote. It's a decent controller, very Xbox-like. You see, the graphics are okay. It's not... not bad. It does 1080p playback, which is good for the video. And I'm not sure whether the games are 1080p or not. But whoa, watch out! Oh my gosh! Okay, I'm not bald.
Oh,
I'm not very good at this kind of thing.
So, what about on the con side?
We've seen this all before.
It's another one.
And you may very well already have a Roku or an Apple TV or an Xbox or a PlayStation. Your TV may do most of the functionality of this. There's a big con on this, which it doesn't have any HBO Go.
Oh.
So it does have Showtime, but no HBO Go. I imagine additional applications will be added to this. This is really an app store. There is, in fact, an app store. So it may be HBO hasn't made the deal yet with Amazon. Maybe that's coming. Later.
I hope they do.
It's a little bit of a missing.
The more, the better.
There's another big, surprising miss on this. Amazon's own music is not here.
Really?
They have a really great system. I've uploaded all my music to Amazon Music.
Yeah.
I can buy MP3s. I was shaking. Maybe they left it in the box. I couldn't. What? No Amazon Music on this thing? This is an Amazon product. I actually like it a lot. I'm going to give it a buy if you don't already have 20 other things that do exactly the same thing. But this is very capable. What it really does is it puts Amazon at parity with everybody else.
Right.
We're waiting to see what Google's going to do with their Android TV. Google's got Chromecast. Apple's got Apple TV. Everybody's got something, and now Amazon's one of them. But, if you don't already have something like this, if your smart TV is not capable, it certainly does everything it said it would do. It does have an app store, which means you'll be able to buy more stuff to put on it. I love it because it's from Amazon. I didn't have to configure any of my Amazon stuff. It arrived knowing that I was Leo, and it said, hey, Leo. So that was very nice. So I like that part. Yeah, I would give it a buy. They've done a nice job. There's nothing wrong with it. Just missing HBO Go and Amazon Music. And
cool.
That's about it.
It's not bad. I
nice.
Didn't have a Roku,
I'd
think about it. But I currently am in the Roku environment, so I'm going to stick with it.
Amazon's so late to the game that pretty much everybody who was going to buy something like this already has this. And now all TVs come with stuff. This is better than anything on any TV I've seen, though. So
I like it.
The voice. The voice is unique.
The voice is cool. I'm glad that it's responsive.
Oh, it's very fast. Let me search for something else. Twit. Now, it'd be great if it had a Twit application in here, but for some reason it gives me Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Well, I think that's rather close, but it could do a little better. Well, thank you, Leo.
Sure, anytime.
Very cool. I'll have to play with
that a bit. I have something special I'll show you at the end of the show.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
We have to wait till midnight.
I think I know what it is.
We have to wait till midnight.
I can't wait. Ooh, that's going to be fun. But first, speaking of music, we actually decided to check out some headphones from Brian. These are some new gaming headphones from Rocket, because we love Rocket here. So let's go ahead and check them out.
This is Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, and today I'm taking a look at the Rocket Cave XTD 5.1 digital gaming headset. It's a bit of a mouthful to say, but that's okay because of the sweet 5.1 sound it delivers straight to your ear holes. The Cave looks a bit like it could have been manufactured inside of a Tron movie, with its blue accents that highlight the mic and light up the remote options, like for volume. On the outside of the ear cups is a rubberized texture which makes the headset easy to grip, and the ear pads are well padded and made of a soft material. The cups fit well over my ears, which I would say are average size, but hard to say because I don't know of a standard measurement of ear size. But for those of you with larger ears, might have trouble fitting the pads over comfortably. Although you know what they say about people with large ears, they're great listeners. I made sure to test this headset thoroughly by playing more hours than I would like to admit of Titanfall, and they were very comfortable even after a long session. Another note for those of you with glasses out there, these worked great even with my thick frames. The Cave also feels very durable. I've dropped it, twisted it, and sat on it a couple of times with no noticeable harm. The balance of the headset feels good, and the pressure is evenly distributed along my head and don't pinch at the bottom of my ears like some headsets have a tendency to do. The Cave comes with a remote that has a multi-channel sound card with some cool features. The dial allows you to change your volume, but also after pressing the top button, you can change the individual settings without having to make adjustments to your headset in the software. There's a button for switching to movie mode, and by far my favorite feature is a speaker button that allows you to switch from your headset to your speakers on the fly. There's even ports that allow you to plug in your 5.1 speakers if you have them. Taking a closer look at the remote is a mute button that lights up the mic to let you know when you're muted, and on the left is a button for your phone. If you hold it down for 6 seconds, it'll put the remote into pairing mode, and using Bluetooth will allow you to connect your phone and receive calls and send text messages through the headset. On my Moto X, I was even able to use a hands-free option to make calls and send text messages. Now, the most important part for a gaming headset is the sound. Each cup has three drivers that provide good mids and highs, and it does suffer a bit on the lower end, but overall the sound is terrific. If you've never played a shooter game with 5.1 surround before, it'll change your experience forever. Using this headset, I was able to pinpoint players without ever having to look at the map. Jets were flying overhead, bullets were darting past, explosions were happening in the distance, and all sounded crisp with just a bit of bass missing from the explosions and other booming sound effects. But I can hardly fault the Cave for losing some on the bass side. It's definitely worth the compromise for a 5.1 headset that isn't very heavy at all. Now here's a test of the mic audio. I know what you're thinking, it doesn't sound great, and it's definitely not like the PR40s that we use here at Twit. And if there was one part of the Cave that felt budget, it would be the mic. It's by no means terrible, and it does a great job for gaming, and when I took phone calls, people on the other end didn't notice much of a difference from the phone mic, but it isn't great either. Now, the software also provides a lot of options for tweaking in the preferences for bass, EQ, and my favorite, the voice modifier, which lets you do monster.
I'm going to eat your babies.
And now this is the rubber ducky, which sounds like I just inhaled a balloon of helium. And
this is the man voice, which I would imagine it would be coming from someone's van down by the river with a picture of puppies and free candy on the side of it.
The voices range from funny to
downright creepy.
Now for some pros and cons. The Cave does a great job for a 5.1 headset. It sounds great, it's packed with features that every PC gamer can appreciate, and even after a long Titanfall session, it didn't weigh on my head or feel uncomfortable at all. The price is a bit high for a headset that you'll only be able to use with your Windows PC, and the headset is pretty bulky and tethered to its remote, so you won't be wanting to travel with this. Now buy, try, or don't buy? If you're looking for a headset to listen to music with or do some occasional gaming and don't need a mic, this headset is a bit of an overkill. But if you're a gamer who doesn't want to compromise and want to know exactly where that sniper is firing from, this headset is a great choice, and I had to have to give it a buy. I'm Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, and I'll see you next time.
All right, so that was the Rocket Cave XTD 5.1 headsets.
Yes, and don't worry, I tested them out a lot. There's quite a bit of Titanfall.
And you did a great job gaming all day, being productive in the editor bay.
Whatever it takes, you know, 110% for Before You Buy. So
you do an excellent job, Brian. Thanks so much.
Shannon.
And those were a buy.
Yeah, I liked them a lot. They're very comfy.
Maybe I'll take them for you. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our next review with Mike Elgin. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you so much. So this is your first time on Before You Buy.
That's right.
It's great to have you here with us.
Glad to be here.
So Mike is our TNT host, Tech News Today.
That's right,
and
news director.
You can watch that at twit.tv, of course. So you have the Ricoh Theta camera, correct?
That's correct. I say Theta, you say Theta, doesn't matter.
Theta.
Either way, it's a really compact thing about the size of a bar of chocolate.
So I reviewed something similar to this called the Galileo a couple of weeks ago, and it was a camera that can do 360 degrees, but it requires you to use an application on an iPhone.
Right.
So this is just built-in all-in-one, correct?
That's right. You can just use the device, and then you can upload it. But it does have an iOS app, and it also has an Android app, which is the one I've been using. I've tried them both, actually. But this is actually a very cool little device. You know, you see that it has lenses on both sides. That's how you get the 360-degree effect. And one of the coolest effects, Shannon, you can see this. The eye follows you. It's like a haunted house, you know, where the painting follows
creepy.
You. Yeah, because that is all glass lens there, and that's how they achieve the 360-degree effect.
So weird. Do you end up with any kind of cutoff from the two sides?
There's a little bit of a glitch in the matrix when you see where the seam is, and I'll show you that just a second. But you can see one of the things that's cool about this is it's very minimalist in terms of buttons and so on. So you can see that it has a standard tripod mount at the bottom. You can also, this thing flips open and you can have the USB connectivity to your laptop or whatever.
Okay.
And it has a single button. So if you're going to use this standalone, you just press the button. So I just took a 360-degree picture.
Right up my nose.
Right up your nose. So this is also called the nose cam. Which is, but it's very handy. The problem with that button, and we'll get to all the problems in just a second, but the problem is you think your nose is in this picture. You should see the size of my thumb when this picture comes out, because there's no way to use this button without your hand being about 20% of the shot.
Could you remotely take a picture?
You can, in fact. Let's go through the rest of the hardware specs on this, and we'll get into the software part. So it has 4 gigs of memory. That holds about 1,200 pictures for the size that
it
creates. That's not bad. The images are actually 3584 by 1792.
Wow.
That's the resolution on them when they come out. Now, so there's iOS and Android apps. You can take pictures and share them. You can change the brightness. That's about it. That's almost all you can do with this camera. It's very, very simple. But once you have it on the app, and I'm going to bring this app over here so you can see the app. And again, this is the Android app. These are pictures that I've already taken. You can see that they're circular. And if I'm going to take a picture, so I'll go ahead and take a picture here. You see this green interface.
Yeah.
You have this in the background. So I'm going to take a picture just like that. Now, of course, we're very close. And this is Wi-Fi. So I could have this camera on the other side of the room. And once you do that, that's really the way to use this device is through the app, because then your hand isn't in the picture. And you can also upload it to the Theta site. And I'm going to show you that now, if we can kick over to the laptop. Now, this is a picture that I took about an hour ago. And that is Jason once again making a cameo.
Whoa,
but you can see what happens is as you move this around, you see some of the cool effects on this. And this is totally 360.
Oh,
you see the ceiling. You see the floor. You see everything. And then you can zoom in on Jason. Look at that. It's called the Jason.
That's awesome.
They should call this the Jason cam.
Great moves back there, Mike.
So this is very cool. Now, I use this picture not only because Jason is such an awesome model, but you can see the seam there. You see that?
Yes.
So side is one camera, and that side is the other camera. And I'm going to zoom in there, and you can see there's the glitch in the matrix. But normally, so we'll follow the seam up, and you can see as we follow it up that's it. You really don't see the seam normally. It's only at the bottom because, of course, there's a device between the lenses. So that part of it is really cool. Another thing you want to notice is that this is not super high quality. Cameras these days, including smartphone cameras, are much higher quality than this, and partly this is because this is low light. So let's look at a picture that has more light in the shot here. Okay, let's see. This is the fridge cam. This is the Twit refrigerator. So we got in there,
cool.
And you'll notice that there's nothing except beer and yogurt. So that's what we live on here.
We are
at Twit.
Healthy eaters here.
That's right, and healthy drinkers. So you can see this is with more light, including a refrigerator light. This is not bad. You could go in and read the labels,
yeah,
find out the
grainy
alcohol levels of all the beer. So right. Yeah, so this is a very cool app. And again, this is one of the downsides. Preview of some of the downsides. This is the app where you see this view. You see it in the app. You can see it on this app, but you upload to Facebook,
upload
you simply
it.
Get a link to
right.
link to the here.
Okay.
So that's a limitation of this device. And again, it's a lot of fun. So the pros are that it's instantaneous. I go boom, and I have 360 degrees. You can of course do panoramas and things like that with a regular camera. It takes a while, and you look like an idiot standing there, you know, going all over the place.
That's
so
true.
This has that advantage of being very fast. It stitches nicely, and it's a lot of fun. This is just a fun, easy to use camera for the most part. The cons are that it costs $400.
Oh, wow. That's expensive.
That is the mother of all cons. That's too much for this camera. And
that's
so
really expensive.
That's exactly right.
Thanks.
And the quality is on the low side. It captures only 360-degree images, so you can't take video. There are rumors that you'll have video in the future because it has a microphone inside that hasn't been activated yet. But for now, there's only 360. You can't do 180 photos. You can't do regular photos. You can't do anything except that special effect.
That one thing. So you really have to be hardcore about 360 degrees photos if you're going to purchase this product.
That's right.
How long does it last? Because it's off battery, obviously.
That's right. It lasts pretty. I haven't done a test all the way through, but it's hours. It's
wow.
It actually okay. The battery is not an issue with it. The biggest issue, besides the fact that it costs $400, is that it uses Wi-Fi for connectivity. So it boots you off the Wi-Fi you have. It always wants to favor the room's Wi-Fi, I found, both at home and here at Twit. And so I'm always reconnecting to the Wi-Fi. And then when I want to upload it to the internet, then I have to reconnect again.
Do you
it's
have
real
to
problem.
Have Wi-Fi to take photos, or can you just take pictures out in the wild?
To do anything with them, you have to have Wi-Fi. To get it off of this device, you need Wi-Fi, or to plug it in, and that's an arduous process. So I'm going to give this a don't buy because it's too expensive. It's too limited in terms of how you can use it. Now, granted, there are going to be people who would love this. If you have some reason that you need very instantaneous 360-degree photos,
right. This
is a good product. But 95% of the people listening to this is not the product for you. And just as comparison, you can buy a Nexus 5 for $349. That's $50 less, plus
like
it makes calls. Right. And as you know, that takes photospheres.
That's true. It does.
And the photographic quality of those is going to be higher than this. It's cheaper. It's higher. It'll take you a little longer. There's a little bit more stitching.
You look
in that.
A little weird moving around with your camera, but that's okay. Your phone.
That's right. But I would generally recommend for people who want 360-degree photos, buy a Nexus 5.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mike. And
thank
that was
you.
The Ricoh Theta or Theta.
That's right.
$400. Wow, so expensive.
That's right.
All right. Well, before we move on to our next review, I would like to thank our sponsor. Why don't you hand me that little tool bag over there? Yeah. This is pretty cool. So this is from iFixit. Our brand new sponsor of the day. iFixit is an online repair manual for pretty much anything. You can find everything you ever wanted there. They have free step-by-step guides. They have foolproof instructions for everything from if you've shattered your iPhone screen or if you need to repair that red ring of death on your Xbox. And hopefully the Xbox One doesn't do that. I don't think it does. Or if you don't know how to swap out your battery on a Galaxy S3, it'll show you how. iFixit has got you covered. They have 10,000 repair guides for everything from electronics, like your smartphone, your tablet, your gaming console, to your home appliances. They even have guides for clothing or even how to fix your bike. They can even hook you up with the parts that you need to fix it. Everything that they sell is tested and guaranteed. iFixit also makes the most trusted repair tools for consumer electronics, including this thing I have here, the ProTech Toolkit. So this has 70 tools to assist you with any mod, any malfunction, or misfortune that comes your way. The toolkit is good for, it's a gold standard. It's for electronics work, for garage hackers, anybody from the CIA to the FBI to your 12-year-old at home. But more importantly, their unique tools are used to repair everything, and they're used by repair technicians everywhere. It includes a 54-bit driver kit with 54 standard, specialty, and security bits. There's Phillip bits, Penelope bits for, you know, your iPhones and things like that. There's even this little thing called a triangle bit for McDonald's toys, because we all have McDonald's toys at home, right, guys? Well, I do. There's also a swivel top precision driver, the flex extension for hard-to-reach screws, such as in your PC towers, and everything is ESD safe. They also have tweezers for delicate manipulation, such as for watches and clocks and things of that matter. There's an anti-static wrist strap, which keeps your devices safe from accidental static discharge, especially if you're using electronics repair or if you're working on Arduinos and things like that. There's a nylon spudger, metal spudgers, plastic opening tools for prying and scraping, especially good for tablet repair. And it's lightweight, it's compact, it's durable, and you can roll it up and take it on the go with you anywhere you want to go for repair professionals and amateurs alike. Everyone can use it. It's only $69.95, and it's backed by a one-year warranty. This is great for hobbyists, for home DIY fixers, for anybody that wants to use the ProTech toolkit for anything. I even use it for my eyeglasses at home. It's so useful. Best of all, there are thousands of free iFixit guides to help you for your tools to for everything that you need to use. I think I said 10,000 repair guides? Yeah, that's quite a few. So, with iFixit, you can fix it yourself. You can visit iFixit.com/twit for free step-by-step guides. iFixit also sells every part and tool that you'll need. Enter the code before you buy at checkout, and you'll save $10 off any purchase, that's anything, of $50 or more. That's iFixit.com/twit, and use the code before you buy. And we'd like to thank iFixit for their support. Thank you so much, iFixit. Next up, we have an awesome review. I've been looking forward to this one because I'm kind of getting into exercising, sort of. I'm a little lazy, but I should do it more. This is a few earbuds. Anthony is checking out the Urban Ears Cranston ID America Spark ear sets and the RHA MA600i earbuds. So let's check them out.
I'm Anthony Nielsen, and this is a roundup review of three in-ear headphones. First up is the Urban Ears Cranston, which goes for $39. It's available in 13 colors, comes with three sets of ear tips, feels comfortable wearing, and sports a clean, minimalistic design. The earpieces and cord have a matte finish, and on the cord you'll find a nice solid inline control and mic, but it doesn't have a volume rocker. After the Y-split, the cord is cloth-lined, which feels sturdy and ends with a right-angle connector that is nicely reinforced. Though it doesn't come with a carrying case, it does have a clever design to help you keep it tangle-free. The two earpieces snap together like Lego pieces. You can either temporarily store them around your neck or coil it up and use a loop on the connector to secure the cord. My only worry is that the added stress on the connector using this feature could damage the cord over time. The sound quality is good for the price range, with 10mm dynamic drivers that deliver a deep, powerful bass, slightly forward mid-range, highs that taper off in the end, and doesn't distort at high levels. Though the dynamic range can seem narrow or flat, lacking clarity on the highs. Pros and cons? Pros, the built-in cable management's pretty cool. It has a solid build quality and has an audio profile tuned for bass lovers. Cons, there's no volume control on the remote and the soundscape is fairly narrow. So I'm going to give the Cranston a try. Audiophiles won't love the soundscape, but will appeal to those looking for a booming bass on a budget. Next up is ID America's Spark, which retails for $60, but I've seen it going online for as little as $42. The Spark Plug-inspired design is sleek and distinct, available in 9 different color combinations, and comes with 3 sets of ear tips and a leather carrying case. The earpieces are wrapped in 2 layers of aluminum casing that feels lightweight but durable and comfortable to wear. The cord is rubberized and feels very thin, so thin that I question its durability, but I have not had any issues with it myself. On the cord you'll find an inline control and mic made of plastic that's small and unobtrusive, but it doesn't have volume control and it feels a bit cheap. And at the end, you'll find a gold-plated connector. The build quality in the leather case is good, but for its design, it would have been nice if it had a shorter profile. It wouldn't fit in a pocket easily. The sound quality is solid. Like the Cranston, the 8mm dynamic drivers have extra emphasis on the bass. It's deep and punchy, but occasionally bleeds over the mids, which are slightly pulled back. The highs are a bit boosted, but is clear and crisp, overall well-rounded, and sounds comparable to earphones in the $80 range. Pros and cons? Pros. It has a stylish design, very lightweight, and has great performance for its cost. Cons? The cord's durability is questionable, and the odd-shaped case isn't very useful. I give the ID America Spark a buy. If you can get them online for $40, these are great-sounding and stylish earphones. Finally, we have RHA's MA600i, which goes for $89.95, but the MA600i looks and feels beyond its price range with its styling and solid build quality. It comes with a nice hard carrying case, a clothing clip, and a stainless steel holder for the 7 other sets of ear tips included. The earpieces are made with machined aircraft-grade aluminum on the inside with plastic on the back. It feels nice and solid, but not too heavy. The cable is dual-insulated with oxygen-free copper, and the plastic covering gives it a slightly stiff, durable feel and helps to prevent tangling. It also has an inline remote and mic with three buttons that have a nice tactile feel. The housing for the remote is also made with machined aluminum, and the Y-splitter and 90-degree gold-plated connector follow suit. When it comes to its performance, its custom dynamic 320.1 drivers, like the ID America Spark, delivers a slightly V-shaped sound, with more emphasis on the low and high, with the mids pulled back. However, the mids are more defined and clear than the Sparks. The dynamic range feels large with big, powerful bass and sharp highs, and gives a good sense of space. Pros and cons. Pros, the build quality is outstanding, and RHA backs that up with a 3-year warranty. The look of the design is very clean and has great sound quality. Cons, the remote seems rather large for what it is, and its punchy highs and lows aren't for the audiophiles. I give RHA's MA600i a buy. If you're that casual listener who's not looking for a flat response and likes a clear, punchy sound with massive bass, absolutely consider the MA600i. I'm Anthony Nielsen, and that was my in-ear headphones roundup review.
All right, and that was Anthony Nielsen, one of our top wonderful editors here, with three brand new earbuds for you guys to check out. I think I want to check out those RHA ones myself. I'm kind of an exercise addict, so they might be useful for going exercising. Now we have Leo Laporte back again here over in the living room set.
So we had to hold this to the end of the show.
We did, yes.
Because it's just coming out now on AT&T. I think Verizon's got it. This is the new phone. You know, this is the season. Now we have spring as the season of the new phones, like crocuses.
All of
they
them
emerge. The HTC, the new one, the M8. Any minute now, I'm sure we'll see a Nexus 5 from Google. But this is the one that Samsung announced at the Mobile World Congress and is now out available. Just came out on U.S. carriers.
So it's just got this today.
Yeah, Galaxy S5. This is an AT&T version of the Galaxy S5. So I haven't had a chance to review it, but what I'll do is I'll show you it and talk a little bit about what we can expect in the next week.
Yeah, give us the first look.
I'll have a review. So this is an example. I think Samsung has gotten to the point now where they feel they've perfected it. So this is the S4. The S5 is a little bit taller, very slightly heavier, 15 grams heavier, very slightly wider, and it's about 1 millimeter thicker. So it's not so very different from the S4. Let me get it out of the box.
It looks very similar, though.
But it sure is similar, isn't it? They've added to the battery life, a few hundred milliamp hours. They, of course, have a much faster processor. This is a quad-core Qualcomm Snapdragon 801, same one in the HTC one.
Yay.
This was a 600 in the old S4. If I put them side by side, I mean, one's black, one's white, but you can kind of hardly tell the difference.
Right.
There is a big difference in the back. Well, I mean, does this count a lot?
It looks
like a Band-Aid.
Almost.
Yeah, they've perforated. They made a big deal about this. There are going to be a variety of other backs on here as well. It comes in a variety of colors. The thing about the S5 compared to the other top-of-the-line phones, and it's always been this way with Galaxies, you can remove the back, remove the battery, get extra batteries, put extra batteries in.
Yes.
That's a nice feature. The other big difference that I'm very curious about is the camera. They're now 16 megapixels, and they've added something that high-end cameras have, phase detection. Not face detection.
Phase detection? What is that?
Phase detection. It's a better way to focus. So phase detection, focusing is a little bit faster, maybe a little bit more accurate. This, in other words, the Galaxy S5 is going to be more like a camera. What else is there to say about it? Oh, I know one other thing I wanted to know, and I'm going to do it right now. How much free space? This was one of the unfortunate things on the Galaxy S4. 16-gigabyte phone only had about 8 gigabytes of free space.
Because you have all the extra pre-installed
stuff. Because there's so much Samsung stuff. My sense is they've backed off a little bit. Oh, yeah, you notice these are the round icons. We saw those. They're a little bit smaller. And the new quick settings window, which means it's going to take me forever to figure out where I can find storage on this thing. Maybe that's the idea. Everything is moved around and reorganized. I think, though, the organization, because you can minimize these, is going to make it a little bit easier for people to have the settings that they want all the time. I'm sorry, my head gets in that there. System is probably where we're going to find this. Storage, there we go. So let's see how much free space there is. And this was one of the things that was somewhat controversial about the old phone, and then there was some controversy over how much free space there'd be on the new one. The total space, it's a 16 gigabyte phone, system memory, used space, cache space, 10.93 gigabytes.
Wow.
So Samsung did do it. They were able to get a little bit more space. Not a lot, but a little bit more space on the phone. That means they've probably reduced the amount of extra stuff. Actually, they did. One thing they've done is you don't automatically get the Galaxy Essentials. You have to download them from the Samsung store. So that's a good thing if you didn't want Watch On, their TV app. If you didn't want to watch, you can install it and you can uninstall it. So I'm glad to see that. But boy, it doesn't look very different. The S Health Hub is still here. That means this phone can be used as a pedometer, kind of as a Fitbit. And remember, this also has a heart rate monitor now.
Right.
But you have to stand very, very still to do that. And fingerprint sensor, which is kind of cool. I'll give you a review on that next week. I want to give it time to really play with it. But there it is. It's a 5.1-inch screen. It is still 1080p. That's the Galaxy S5, and it's going to be available everywhere. This is the AT&T model, and I'll use it this week and give you a review next week.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your review on it.
I'm glad to see that they're not larding it up as they did. The camera should be the interesting thing
here.
And that's become a battleground. You know, the Nokia's, the 1020, the 1520, the 520, those are great cameras, the 920.
Yeah.
Of course,
it's
iPhone's
so
great.
These days.
I'm really loving the camera again on the M8, the HTC one that I was telling you about last week. So, I'll take a lot
of
pictures.
We shall see. Yep. We shall see. I can't wait to see it. Thank you,
In
Leo.
Fact, let me start.
Next week, you'll see his full review.
The
Samsung Galaxy S5. That about wraps up this episode of Before You Buy today. Thank you, everyone, for your wonderful reviews. That's everyone, including Anthony, Leo, Mike Elgin, and Brian himself. I'll come back soon with my own reviews as well, but for now, I'm going to stay strict hosting for y'all. If you want to see more reviews, hi. Leo's over there taking pictures.
I got to test the camera. I need a model.
Folks, if you guys want to share what you want to see on the show, you can always email us. We read our emails constantly. They're over at byb@twit.tv.
Sorry, don't mind me.
I just used
beauty face on you.
Beauty face.
Beauty face,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll see more of those next week. YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy is our YouTube channel where you can see all the full reviews that you can also see here on the show at twit.tv/BYB. Thank you so much, everyone. And remember, you got to watch before you buy. See you next week.